I think it is better for somebody who is in government, who knows the, who's got the background information, who can share with you, one, what replacement costs they have within the QEH, what have they replaced so far and at what cost, what is the timetable and what is influencing their timetable, and how that compares and contrasts with the idea of knocking down these buildings. Of course, I assume that you've come to a conclusion that it costs as much as or more than to knock down this building or these two buildings than it costs to provide the equipment for the QEH. I assume that that's what you're saying. But somebody else has to answer that question. I am curious about the answers as well. So I don't want to put the question to me. I know where to draw my line, you know.
I know.
I ain't here to speak on behalf of the government. I also have a responsibility to ask questions of the government. I ain't here to do both jobs, you know.
Let me make a suggestion. Let me ask a question, right, rather than make a suggestion. Do you think that there is a wholesale change where the conditions of the country are concerned? You see a wholesale change? Because I asked this question
What aspect of the conditions you're talking
right,
about?
Right. Now, I spent at least about 7 hours at the polyclinic there down in Jermit Lynn. So Winston Scott?
Yeah.
I spent about 7 hours, Mr. Ellis, down there, or even more. Had to leave because up on my side, there is a difficulty of me getting home with public transportation, right? Now, the thing about it is this, right? Everybody is saying what a vast improvement that they have, right? In all of these circles, you understand? I'm not seeing it.
Who said that?
Right?
I haven't heard that. I heard a vast improvement at the immigration department. That's what I've heard. But all the other services remain seriously challenged by the way that we do business, the way that we deliver service to people, the attitude that we display to service as well. All of that is still, and that's not something that can be changed just so. You can't expect a government to be able to come and change the culture of a people just so.
But they give the impression that they could change it overnight, Mr.
No, I heard
Ellis.
If that is the interpretation that you got, you know I can't quarrel with it. I never thought that it was overnight. As a matter of fact, what I heard was that you have to put various things in place to achieve it, and you have to work towards it. And people are encouraged on a regular basis to remember that Barbados cannot move forward unless we make these changes. I never heard the overnight. But then again, we are different people.
I guess.
You know, I ain't gonna quarrel with you because you thought it was overnight. All right?
All right, thank you, sir.
Thanks. This writer says, I can attest to the vast improvement in the delivery of service at a number of government institutions. I have experienced that firsthand this year at the Immigration Department as well as the Barbados Supreme Court. Improvements are there for sure. As a returning national, I have experienced it and was pleasantly surprised and appreciative of it. One of the discussions that erupted earlier had a lot to do with moderators and when the moderator takes on a role with government, how we deal with these matters. I must say to you that, you know, things evolve, things change from time to time. And I think that over the years, what has happened here is that we have reached out to people that we thought had something to offer. And we bring those people as moderators. And at that time, I don't believe any of them really have any strong political affiliations or anything like that. Because generally speaking, what happens is that we are the ones who reach out to people. We don't necessarily go after those who come bombarding us with the idea that they want to be moderators, because what we are looking for in a moderator, they may not have. It's a background knowledge and an approach and stuff that we are looking for. But we have found ourselves in one administration or the other where the people that we bring turn out to be attractive to political parties and the government. I mean, so we must seriously analyze some of these issues. And I think that I'm hopeful that in the coming months we will be able to work out a policy that zeroes in on this and related issues, because I think that we all have to address issues of conflicts of interest and that sort of thing. And it is not something that you want to wake up one morning and say, well, you got this, and therefore it naturally follows now that we must shift and adjust. We must all know the rules from the time we begin. These are the rules. These are the things that are aimed at protecting the station, and it is relevant to this program. It's also relevant to the calypsos and the music that we play and that sort of thing, so that we flesh out a clear policy on how we deal with matters such as this, beyond the concept of seeking to be professional. Now, I would concede that we may set out to be professional in the way that we do things, but we could still find ourselves under the gun with the perception held by people from time to time. Now, the test there is, so which side are you going to go with? The perception that is for you or the perception that is against you? You know, how do you measure the numbers here? You know, and then you have to also look critically at this issue. And how popular are you with the people out there, with the audience, the listenership that you take to the market? So all of that needs to be taken into consideration. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, David.
Yes, hi.
I'm here again, David.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, I think you're a very, very strong guy. I wonder if you have a hard heart or you're a strong person.
You want to know whether I was torn apart this morning?
Yeah.
I must tell you, I did shed a tear. I did.
Oh, okay. Just like I.
Yes, it was not easy radio this morning at all.
I really had to shed a tear. You can't continue my contribution. Very honest, too.
But again, you see, I still have to be professional in pursuit of my job.
Right, you know, because I always said to myself, David, you've got to be a very, very strong guy to continue at that point. Yeah, now, I had really wanted to speak to you on something, but I did leave that for Monday. But what caused me to recommence my call is you had a caller who told you that he would be willing to make a bid for the old award. You remember that caller?
Mm-hmm.
David, you know, when I sit down and listen to these callers making these kind of contributions, it really, really, really sends me crazy. Because I remember clearly that building, the building that's been knocked down, that I was referring to. That building was there for years, David, and I haven't heard him, engineers, nor no one. It was an eyesore. Not a guy. Not a person mentioned anything concerning the building. You can do a building from where you can do a building. Now all the so these self-confessed engineers got all kinds of street plans for the building, or where you can do with it. And that's what really ticked me off when I hear these guys call the program. I remember, David, listen, the city need a complete facelift. I remember there was times when I used to leave home at night and walk the length and breadth of Bridgetown. That is when Bridgetown used to be alive and there was something for me to see in Bridgetown and go and relax. They need to understand that cities all over the world the sanctuary, you knock them down and rebuild them so that people can find some place where they can relax and enjoy themselves. And if this is the case where we find an ideal location where you can put something to bring people back to the city, I support it 100%.
I think the real discussion is really about the changes that are required down here in this part of the city. So what happens here is that we isolate the buildings, these two buildings, but we are not discussing the general environment in which the buildings are standing or being knocked down. And I think that's very important. As I look at it, I mean, I told you I am up and down in this area. I don't just drive in here. I see it. I see it in the morning. I see it at lunchtime. I see it at night. You know? So it really, really requires a lot more attention. This place, we've got some businesses here, but generally speaking, this place is a mix of the renewal that has been done with the Carenage and the rest that has been allowed to run down, beginning with the old market. I mean, that was left as an eyesore for so long.
Exactly.
And then to create an environment where essentially you develop what looks like a shanty town.
I know they really had me annoyed. I heard someone while you say a couple people mentioned when they were speaking about this building. You imagine someone gets so naive to ask when you knock down the building, where the homeless people are going to go? You don't hear that sort of comment? I mean, I can't believe it at all.
Well, the question is how come we are so satisfied with the status quo? The people who are so satisfied with it as it is right now, how often do they come down here? Do they just drive through? Do they catch the bus? Do they go to the hospital and walk from the bus terminal up to the hospital across Fairchild Street and River Road? Do they see that? Another building in town that really needs renewal is a private sector interest. Old Sunjet House or Speedbird House it was.
Yeah, I try to speed
word out. That's another one that needs, something needs to be done about it. Hope that the people who own it could do something soon to enhance it. That's just a stone's throw away. That's on the other side of the road from the statue with Right Excellent Errol Walton Barrow.
Exactly. You know? But I remember, David, that I am speaking the truth to you. I remember a night I went to lecture at the Tom Allen's Center. And I left there about minutes after 9. And I took a walk. It was on my way home because I didn't have my car at that point in time. And I took a walk from there, come to Robert Street there, right down Broad Street.
Mm-hmm.
And you could believe at that point in time, I was the only person on Broad Street. Minutes after 9, it was a complete ghost town. And I can't believe I was in the city. And I walked from there right down to the side bus stand, and I was just alone, going right. The only person I saw was a guy there by the old white dilemma. And the entire city was just a ghost town.
About what time?
That was minutes after 9 o'clock.
Yeah, at that time that happens in town.
And I can't believe it.
No activity in Bridgetown, really, at that kind of time. And that's because there's no real nightlife, apart from what
exactly.
You get on the boats and what happens there behind the Carenage, where the boat docks and people party and stuff out there, you know, you're really in a ghost town that time.
But I want to say that the government do not retract from this development. Because, I mean, every time you attempt to do something,
I think the government needs to speak to this.
Well, I don't understand.
All
don't understand.
The questions that are being raised need answers to them. And so that people can be satisfied that the government has a clear plan and direction. The impression is being conveyed that this plan was pulled out of somebody's head one day, and that's it. And you pelt it at the people, and that's it. You gotta like it or lump it, you know. That is not going to work. That's how it appears. So I'm saying to you, if it appears that way, then you got to do something to correct that.
Right, but I will close by saying this, David. The last call you had to was speaking to you about Ms. Sutherland and the hospital equipment. I don't believe these guys are really serious, you know, because this government just came to power in a space of about a year and a half or a little over half, David. And the hospital was in a deplorable state on the last administration. You can remember the dialysis machines. There was a serious problem up there, and this government can't come to power and get that situation rectified. I know we hear Ms. Sutherland now speaking about the same equipment that being mentioned now all across the areas and in the nation newspaper. And she mentioned that the equipment would be coming there, do some sort of investigation, and there would be ordering the equipment. It's true she said it was there a couple of months, but they must understand that the equipment just can't sail across the sea.
Yeah, but the problem with this issue here is what was said days ago. See, the impression was given to the public that the matter had been settled then. Now, what's being said today is not consistent with that.
Well, I speak in the word here, Ms. Sutherland said, all right. The other statements that were said previously.
That is where the problem arose. That's why I raised that issue today.
Oh, okay.
Because the two positions, what I was made to understand and what was said publicly, were not one and the same. What is being said today is consistent with what I was made to understand. You couldn't get elective surgery largely because the autoclaves were not working.
Well, I heard that statement, so I believe that statement should look out first then.
Well, we just got to make sure that in the public utterances, you know, you have to be careful how you speak, because if you give one impression, people's expectations are going to be at a particular level.
Right. I think they need to come and speak more clearly. And that was the same thing I was planning to talk to you this morning, but I'll speak to you on it on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm listening quite similar. Thank you, David.
Okay. It's 1:45. A full bank of calls. Hello. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, David.
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am.
I was waiting here to put a piece of conky in my mouth, but I didn't want to speak to you and talk.
You still eating conky?
Yes, dear. But I didn't want to be talking to you and eating the conky, so I had to hold on.
Okay.
I'm not a caller, really, of Brass Socks. I'm a listener.
Yes.
Yes. But two things I want to say. This morning it was heartbreaking to hear Michael's story. And all I can say is ask him to have faith and be strong.
Yes.
Now to all of the moderators. I want in 2020 to ask God to give you all good health first, wisdom, patience, and direct you in the right way. Because, I mean, you all have to be strong sometimes to cope with the situations that I sit down and listen to. Happy 2020 to all of you. And I wish you all the best. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much on behalf of my fellow moderators. Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hey, David.
Yes,
Happy
sir.
Year.
Happy New Year.
I was really and truly looking to call you next week. But I probably still going to, I'm going to definitely call you next week, but I thought I just had to say something since I was listening today. The first thing, my wishes are with the gentleman that called you this morning from the hospital bed. I thought it was very courageous of him, and I have tremendous respect for his contribution and what he has done over the years. And I think that a lot of the people in Radioland will also feel that same way. And I think he has everything to be proud of. If he ever goes to see his maker, he can look at them with a smile and say, I did my best. My wishes are with him. And the main thing I'm going to call you about to speak about right now, as I said, I'm going to talk about you also next week. After I've heard what you said that the Association of Architects is going to be on the program on Sunday.
I believe they're among those who will be there. I definitely know that. Our focus is on these buildings, not just this set of buildings that people are talking about. But the challenges, we are concerned that buildings that are held by government in particular are not well kept, and a lot of them are just lying idle, and some are in derelict condition.
Okay.
So it's a question of trying to see what's happening here and what what we can do.
I am looking forward to hearing from the Institute of Architects, because for all these years that I've been listening to Brass Tacks, I cannot definitively remember the last time that I've heard an official representative of the Institute of Architects come on this program to explain certain things to the Barbadian public with respect to certain concerns about buildings. This whole development that's going on in Bridgetown, I attended the town hall meeting last night at Copacabana. And to be totally honest, I was not happy.
Why is that?
I was not happy with some of the designs I saw and some of the explanations I was given. Now, don't get me wrong. The consultants did their various presentations, and I thought each of those presentations were good. Okay? Because they were consulted, and they did their job. But my first question would have to be asked is that how a structure, a development can get to this size and scope and complexity and not have input from, significant input, from a group like the Association of Architects or from certain people who then can say, look, this is how, this is what we believe should happen, or whatever. Overall conversation, this is not what is happening in Barbados, and this is our biggest problem. The idea for, I don't know if you remember, but last year, the Carlisle Bay development plan, I've seen the Carlisle Bay development plan, okay? And if you look at it, you see a number of high-rise buildings all over. And if you look at it as well, you see the location of Golden Square, where the demolition of the NIS building is proposed. Okay?
Yeah.
And the conversion of it into a park. Now, I've been hearing over the years, since that building was condemned, I've heard various stories of it being a sick building and that the foundations were sinking, and that the walls were all sorts of different issues, and the impression then being given that it could not be repaired. That's the impression I was given. But I've never heard any official statement coming from anybody saying that. And that is a problem that I have. Because now I'm going to ask the question, how at this quote-unquote last minute, when the process is happening now, when it's being demolished, now you can hear from the Association of Architects, oh, well, you know, a rain tree doesn't have to come down. Like, I mean, this boggles my mind.
And I think one of the missing elements in the discussion, well, based on what was printed, was they spoke about the architecture and the soundness of the building. There is no reference, though, to what caused the sick building syndrome in it.
Wait, but is it just a matter of being a sick building syndrome in terms of the soundness of the building is what we are essentially talking about as well? Because a building can be repaired, but it depends on the cost of doing that repair. So therefore the question is it feasible to repair that building and to then convert it to another use? Or is it makes better sense to knock it down? Right? I don't know, because I have not studied the building. I have not looked at, I'm not a structural engineer. I have not heard what they have to say. I've not heard a professional opinion of it. But my problem is there is a lot more to the modern day festival, and decisions are being made independent of, I don't want to say consultation, but independent of conversation.
So those questions weren't asked and answered last night at the town meeting?
The town meeting last night was about the Hyatt.
Yes.
Okay? And as I said, the things I'm totally against, the things in the...
Were you satisfied with the answers you got about the Hyatt?
Just a second. One thing to be heard about in the Hyatt, quickly, okay? Mm-hmm. They plan to put cabanas in in Cardinal Bay. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening to you.
Right. They plan to put cabanas in Cardinal Bay. I am totally against that idea.
Why?
Because, one, if they're allowed to do that, then that means that any hotel development that's happening along Cardinal Bay will also be allowed to do that. So therefore, that
what is the objective of having the cabanas?
To have overseas villas or on the water.
And why are they doing that?
Don't ask me, because it's part of their development.
To make
that's
it attractive.
Planning,
to make it attractive
the
for the people
that has been developed.
No. You know
I
better.
I mean, why
than
they're
that.
Doing it, David.
You know the
plan that's been
but you know the natural reason why they're doing it.
To
make it more attractive for visitors.
To make it more attractive.
To give them something extra. Now, the issue that you have to confront is, okay, and to what extent will these cabanas become an obstacle to other people? Can you say that they will be?
David, didn't you just hear what I said? It isn't just a matter of putting one or two cabanas, you know.
The truth of the matter is, how many cabanas?
But this is what I'm saying, David. If you allow one hotel in the Cardinal Bay region area to do that, then nothing is going to stop all the others from doing it as well. And that then changes the whole complexity of the Cardinal Bay area. When you develop a plan, that plan has to make sense financially, yes, but it also has to make sense with...
But you know, the truth of the matter is that, you know, my heavy criticism of what was happening previously with the Hyatt was, and you all can go back to all the conversations I've had with you on these things, it was the need to have the environmental impact assessment and to have this kind of meeting that took place last night for members of the public to hear of the plans and to be in a position to ask questions and to make any recommendations.
But David, tell me something.
I want to recognize the argument is presented that we need the Hyatt as part of building out our tourism infrastructure and to bring foreign exchange to Barbados and to create jobs. And that is going to bring us in collision with some aspects of our traditions and some aspects of our environmental protection. How are we going to mitigate the damage that is likely to be caused is what we need to hear of.
David, I am in 100% agreement with development. I have nothing against developing hotels along Cardinal Bay, including...
We don't want cabanas, though.
Okay? Just a second. Cabanas is part of that. I have a problem with that. In short, I have a problem with the design. Okay? What I saw, in my opinion, being totally honest, I thought it was hideous. Okay? It's quite simple as that. It was hideous.
Those are subjective assessments.
No, I know that's an objective preference, and I'm saying it. This is my objective preference. It was hideous.
Okay.
Okay? No, I'm not saying...
So after all that, you don't have a lot of time, right? Because you know we're running out of time. It's 1:57. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, having heard all that you did last night, are you for or against the completion of this project?
I just told you I'm for the corrupt project.
For this project, okay.
I'm for the Hyatt. All right. For the development that has to go on. But what I'm saying is that there's a lot more in the market than the pencil.
Okay. We can talk about that on Monday. You give me a call before you do on Monday so that I can better prepare myself for our discussion, because clearly you know you have a specific agenda which I think would lend itself to good back and forth once I have enough time to prepare for you. All right? That's it for today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thanks to you, John Stout, for functioning as the technical operator and producer for this edition of the program. And thanks to the people who called and those who listened. This has been the most difficult Brass Tacks program that I have ever done. And it was made all the more difficult because of the contribution of the second caller who said he was calling us from his hospital bed and he's terminally ill. That conversation will remain indelibly etched in the memories of a lot of people who heard it today. All I can tell you, Rashid, is that in all this, there are so many people who have responded in a way that says they love you, they've appreciated your contributions over the years, and they really hope for the very best for you, whatever the circumstances.